Hi, I'm Victor Compulsive All Reader. I wore my 12-step tux tonight. Actually, I better read the instructions sometimes that are on. Let me pick this up and see if I can get this going. And the promise I'm talking about tonight is we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Interesting thing about freedom is that it takes me to the third step prayer, which is freedom from the bondage of self. And that's what I had done for all those years of eating. And by the way, I've been in OA since 1991. First day I started was the day that the first Gulf War started. And by the grace of God, one day at a time, I have 17 years of abstinence in this program. And as I was mentioning to someone earlier on, thank you. Something mentioned to me early in the program was that the record for abstinence is only 24 hours. And that's part of that new freedom, is I don't have to live any more than in the now. I would like to be able to report to you that I do this 24 hours a day, 24/7. But the reality is my spiritual condition is very much contingent on how close I am to my higher power, how I am close to the program, how I'm working the steps and going to meetings and being of service. And in that, there is a new freedom from the bondage of self, because it's my ego that got me to the point of thinking that somehow I could manage food in myself, I could manage my own life by myself, and that somehow I could exist in the vacuum on my own. And the reason that I ate food was that it enabled me not to feel anything. And that was the thing, is I would have rather given up happiness, I would have rather given up all of the feelings in the world as long as I didn't have to feel like there to be negative feelings. And I've come to understand and I've come to believe that there is no such thing as negative feelings. There are just feelings. It's just like the air we breathe. It's just like the fact that we have to have sleep at night. We have these feelings that come along with us because we're human beings. And that was the biggest thing I tried to avoid, was being a human being. Somehow I could be a little bit more than that. Or sometimes I could be a little bit less than that. But I could never just be a human being. I could not be just one amongst other fellows. And I'm grateful to say that that's one of the things that one day at a time this program gives me, is the freedom to be who I am, to act silly, to be dumb sometimes, to make mistakes, to fall down, to get angry sometimes. And the thing that I know about my feelings is that the one thing I do have control over is what my attitude is about them after I've had them. And that's the only thing I need to know about at that particular time, is to be able to express that feeling and be able to share it with somebody on the phone or in face-to-face, so that I can accept that that's just part of who I am. Interesting part of a new happiness is the fact is that I am not happy 24/7. And in fact, I've come to realize that I not only am not, but I don't need to be happy 24/7. We've got termites in the recorder, so don't worry about it. And that's okay. You know, it used to be that the reason that I ate was I didn't want to feel that feeling of being empty. I didn't want to feel that feeling of lacking, of being joyful at that moment. And so what I did was that I turned to the food to be able to give me that feeling of being whole, of being full, and for that momentary happiness that I have, it would be followed seconds later by that feeling of depression and that feeling of solitude, of being cut off from everybody else. And the happiness that I have today is, once again, it may not be at every moment of my life, every turn, every step, that I'm going to be joyful and happy. But the reality is that even at those times when I have sadness that comes into my life, and it's going to come into everybody's life at one moment or another, sometimes longer periods of time, sometimes for just a few moments, is that I know that there is a happiness that exists for me if I get back and I'm humble enough to turn my will and my life over one day at a time to my higher power. And that's all it's really asked of me in this program, is just to do the steps and to take the actions that I need to be free from myself, free from the bondage of those things that kept me in the food for so many years. And I really thank you for being here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with you some of my thoughts about that. Thank you very much.
I'm Jack, compulsive overeater.
Mine is number three, which you could have figured out. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I've been a member of this fellowship since the 12th of February, 1971, and the abstinence I have is from somewhere between the middle part of May and the latter part of August of 1971. And that's a great gift. And it's important to, it was noted earlier, I believe, that these promises, as we refer to them, is a direct result of having worked the first nine steps of the program abstinently. And that's extremely important to me. And one of the musts that occurs right after the promises is that every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will in all of our activities. And part of that is being willing to make certain parts of my life available to other people and let them know that in some areas I've done the very same thing and I was able to get through it, to resolve it, which is very important to be able to do. And part of that is regarding anonymity in the workplace. Because there's a guy named Fred, whom I love dearly, and he said that his disease is stronger than his ability to protect his anonymity, which I understand from that, like I did. When I was working, I was open with anybody about this program, because it gave me two things. It gave me the ability to be able to share this with others and hopefully have an impact. And it also gave reason that if somebody saw me approaching something I had no business approaching, I had a buffer, hopefully. And that can be very, very important at times. It's just important to learn to become as open as possible without being gory, whatever you want to call about the whole thing, or getting into sordid details or whatever. But, from the first remembered crime that I did when I robbed a store as a child and on a dare, and I was really scared after that. And I tell you, when I told my mother about it, it was more frightening than the crime that I had. That was one of the really neat qualities about my mother. My mother was never physically abusive, nor really emotionally abusive, except she had a way about her that when you confessed to her, you never wanted to go through that again in your whole life. So I never again committed a crime like that. And so, but still, going through the process of making the amends is very important. And having gone to God and asked for his help in overcoming each character defect that could lead to this. And it is. And believe it or not, I can't read what it says, but oh, one. Okay, good. I like that. But one of the things that is common generally of compulsive overeaters is our food is something that we're very protective of and we don't want to reveal to other people. And so I think it's very important for me to show the same degree of understanding that I would like to receive from that. And for me, that was the first phase of beginning to open up when I was willing to share this intimate part of my daily activities with somebody. And it really helped, as does my opening up at times with people when it's appropriate to be able to help them. And this is all about, for me, being willing to open up and share the program and allow someone else to experience the benefits. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gretchen. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Gretchen.
Okay, mine is number 4. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. And somebody wanted to trade with me and I said, absolutely not. Because I got this one. I got it. So anyway, I have 26 years of abstinence and... I'm 10 years younger than Jack, an abstinent. Probably a lot younger than that in years. But anyway, and this is a great thing. I found my first birthday card. Well, the only reason I knew how old I was in abstinence is because he kept telling me. But I really didn't, I wasn't really sure he was, you know, had it together. So, but I believed him because I really couldn't remember. And because I was in the program about 4 years before that. That I was eating, coming to meetings, you know, breaking, whatever. But then I found my first birthday card about 6 months ago. The card I got at my first abstinent birthday. And somebody, well, it had been Jack, had written a date on the back of it. So you never know what year is going to stick. So always put the date on the birthday card. But anyway, anyway, I love this promise. And I was thinking, oh, my God, I don't really have anything to say. But I thought the only promise I wanted when I came here was the promise that I heard at the first meeting I went to was that I wouldn't have to compulsively overeat again. And I didn't care. I didn't care if there was anything else they'd give me. I just wanted to stop eating. And I fought for a long time because I just thought it was a choice. I thought the whole thing was a choice, and if I really tried hard enough, I'd be able to stop. But, and I just found out through coming to meetings here and my own experience that's not the case. But I know the difference today. I guess the great thing is that I know the difference between serenity today and non-serenity. And when I don't have serenity, at least I know how to, I know what to do. I know the steps to take to get it. And I didn't know, I wouldn't have known if I was serene or not serene when I got here, and I wouldn't have known what peace was or wasn't when I got here. But I also think that it starts with abstinence, and when you're abstinent and you're not using food, you know what craziness is. And I didn't know I was using food to stop that craziness. And now when I stopped using the food, I had to find some other way to do it. And I really believe for me it was the steps. Today I meditate, I pray. If I'm in confusion, like I'm in confusion now about a situation, and I don't have any answers today, but I'm pretty peaceful about it, and I had a full day today. My day was, I was real active, I was around my sisters, and I ate well, and it's like I know how to get through the day and still not have something resolved. And that's a big deal to me, because before, I didn't think I could get out of the house unless I knew what the answer was and I had some peace about me. And that's not true. I can show up for work and do my job and have confusion in another area of my life. So, for me, it's working the steps, it's writing, it's praying, it's making the calls. And what I always say is I don't do anything different today than I did in my first week of abstinence. It's making the calls, it's abstaining, I call my food in. You know, I work the steps, I do the 10th step, I do, you know, I do all that stuff that it talks about. And I'm just glad there's a way out today, because when I got here, there was no way, you know, I didn't think there was any way out. And then when I got thin, when I was here, and then I got thin, and I was still in that case, I thought, oh, good God, well, now what? And then now what is when the steps came in. But I think I probably had to lose most of my weight first, because I really thought if I just lost that last 5 pounds that it was going to be okay. And then when you get to your goal weight and it's not okay, you know, then what do you do? And that's when the steps, I think, became real important to me. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. And thank you.
Right.
hockey compulsive overeater. Thank God for my abstinence.
Oh, hockey.
Now I know who I am. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Anybody want to trade with me? I like this because I think sponsorship is the heart and soul of Overeaters Anonymous. And this is telling me that I got to give it away to keep it. That my experience is my greatest asset. My past is my greatest asset. I thank God for all the fat and all the food and all the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization that got me here. And only another compulsive overeater can benefit from that experience. And until that happens, nothing's going to happen. Therapy won't help you. And diets won't help you. And it's one compulsive overeater talking to another. And the reason I bring that up is that I couldn't have done these steps without a sponsor. And I wouldn't have anything to give away if I don't have the experience of the 12 steps. It is a 12-step program, and today we're talking about step 9. And there's 160 promises in the big book. These are just 12 of them. This is just for this step. There's also 77 musts. If you want the promises, it says we must be painstaking. If we work for them. So it takes some action. The name of the chapter is called Into Action. Not into thinking. Not into feeling. Not into agreeing. But I had to do what my sponsor did. And because I did a fifth step, he gave me a list of character defects and a list of amends. And the first thing he said is, you got to pay back all the money. And it took me 15 years to pay back all the money. And that's why I have 5,402 days today, one day at a time. And what I like about it, it says, no matter how far down the scale you have gone, and we've all been on many scales, up and down, and... You know, I took this to the end of the line, and I got out, and I laid more track. And my bottom had a trap door. And the only time I said no to food is when I misunderstood the question. So, I'm a real compulsive overeater. And if that's the case, then only a spiritual remedy will help. And these steps are spiritual in nature. And if practiced as a way of life, will not only expel the obsession to compulsively overeat, but also give me a happy and a useful life, as you've already heard up here. I have a rich, full life today. I thank God for what He's given me, what He's taken away, and what He's left me. If I die today, I was overpaid. There's no big deals here. This disease sucks. Any day above ground is a good day. You know, 26 years in AA, 10 years no cancer. I don't know how many times I looked the tiger in the eye, and I'm still standing. And by the grace of God, you see. But I got to keep coming back, and I have to practice these principles. And that's why I thank God I went as far down the scale as I did. It's my greatest asset. I have that experience, and I also have the experience of the 12 steps to pay back what is so freely given to me. If I don't give it away, I don't get to keep it, and I don't deserve to keep it. I've seen people say, well, you know what, I don't go to meetings anymore. Well, you know, I don't want what you have. You know, it's my job. As I got abstinent here, I've got to give it away here. And the reason I mentioned going down the scale is that I went to an eating disorder hospital. I got one more minute to impress you. And after 4 years, I went out on a two-day binge, you see. I'm powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable forever. I thank God for that experience. See, I don't have 19 years. I'm coming up at 15 years. One day at a time, I'm shooting for midnight. So keep it simple. You know, let's not louse this thing up. This is about food. This is about sponsorship. This is more important than life and death, you see. But we can't do it alone, you see. I need a sponsor. I need to sponsor people. And yes, I have to pay back all the money. Thank you.
compulsive compulsive overeater? God has a sense of humor. When I was looking over the promises this afternoon just to refresh it in my mind, I thought, and I read 6, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, and I went, oh God, I hope I don't get that one. So, guess which one I got? My numbers are November 10th, I celebrate 21 years of abstinence. And when I first came in the program, I read the book for the plot. And at that time, I was dating a guy that was an AA, and he told me, we went to this one meeting, and he said, well, and they did the 9-step prayer, and I said, well, where is that? And he said, after the 9th step, and I went, because I had never heard it before. And he says, the promises, he also told me the promises happened after the 9th step, and I didn't believe him, so I read the book again, and guess what, he was right. He had a lot of years of abstinence. So the feeling of uselessness and self-pity, I'd like to start with self-pity, because that one is kind of near and dear sometimes. And I tell a friend that I sponsor that just because we're in program doesn't mean we're always working program. And I truly believe that. As much as I want to always do God's will, I don't. Life was much better when I do, but I don't always do that. Self-pity. In AA, they say, pour me, pour me, pour me another drink. With us, it's just pour me, pour me, and let's have some dessert. So I was doing laundry one Sunday, and it was during I'm CPA, not for business, but anyway, that's just defining my whole life. And so I was working Saturdays, and I was doing laundry on Sundays, and I was going like, you know, everybody else is out there having fun, and here I am doing laundry on my one day off. And I mean, I was spiraling myself down, because I was just like, everybody else is out having fun, and here's Violet doing laundry. And I realized, because I've had time in program, I realized what I was doing. And to me, that's what recovery means. Recovery doesn't mean I don't always do things again. It means I recognize when I'm doing it, and I can stop and step back and say, that's not what I want to do. And on the way back up, back to my place, I thought, you know, this is a bad place to be, and I don't want to do this. And so what can I do to change it? So I started thinking about what I'm grateful for. And I like this 12 steps in the program. There's 13 steps up the my stairwell to get to my first floor place. Anyway, there's 13 steps. So I started thinking of what I was grateful for. I was grateful I had a sense of humor. I was grateful I had curly hair. I mean, we're not talking about major stuff here. But by the time I got to the top of the stairs, I was in a completely different mood. And it has to do with recognizing that I was in the, you know, the self-pity, and that I can do something different. You know what to do? Think about gratitude. There was another self-pity story I was thinking of, but I can't remember right now. But that was the main one. That feeling of uselessness. One of the things I thought before program, and I still get into sometimes, if you really knew what it was like, you wouldn't like me. And that to me is uselessness. That I have no usefulness but to anybody. The same Eskimo that told me that the 9th step the prayer was at the 9th step, and of course they didn't call it, they called it some other prayer, but they didn't say 9th step, but he told me that when you go someplace and you fill out a place to be of service to someone else. Now he got that out of the big book, but you know, I read it for the plot. So that's what I do, and I've done that in meetings. You know, I go to meetings, I try to talk to people before the meetings, I try to collect my hugs because I love getting my hugs. And I do service at the meeting, even if it's just putting chairs away. I also do service at the Region 2 level. And the service that I do helps me feel useful in the program. I got the 1 minute thing on my mind, but blank. That's what I do to be useful. I've taken that outside of program. I do scrapbooking. I tell you all my secrets, but anyway, all my things. But I do, that's more a passion than anything else. It's to help balance off the CPA economy. And I decided I wanted to meet people. And how do you meet people? I had to act friendly. And it's not that I don't care about people, but my mother always told me, if people want you to know, they'll tell you. And I take that to the extreme. So I started going to, excuse me, my scrapbooking things, and I started talking to people. and introducing myself and asking about them, looking interested, and I was interested, I shouldn't say looking, but I'm doing the actions of asking questions about what they're scrapbooking, what they're doing. And this goes like if you're at a party or anything else. And once I started doing that, I felt a part of the group. And I have a lot of people in those different places I go to do my scrapbooking that know me and care about me. And they don't know what I used to be like when I was compulsively overeating and mean, nasty, and negative. Because today I'm a more loving person and I'm a more caring person. Thank you.
I'm Lonnie, a grateful recovering. Are we on? Compulsive overeater? I'd just like to say, Violet, ditto, ditto, ditto. And then I can just sit down. I have. Was it on?
Oh, on. That's better?
Oh, okay. Let's go back to the ditto, ditto, ditto here. Number 7, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I did not realize when I came to Overeaters Anonymous how very selfish I was. This was, I'm 21 years plus abstinent, and I came in at 340 pounds. And all I could really think about at the time was, did I eat right before I got here, and can I go get it again? And my entire world was I, and guarding my plate like a junkyard dog. And there really wasn't very much else to my existence when I got here. So it wasn't a natural inclination of me to give a rip about selfish things for in relationship to anybody else. The promise of this crept up on me, as has many things over the years in the program. It wasn't something that I woke up one day and was in my journal and said, oh, I think I'm now no longer thinking of selfish things and now I will concentrate on my fellows. That is not how it works. My recovery has actually been more in retrospect. I look back and I think, oh, this is, I've come this far on this. And there's a little story that I'd like to tell that kind of just speaks to this promise. Quite a few years ago, in the 100 Pounder meeting, which is my home meeting, the Thursday night meeting, here in Westchester, not very far away, 281, you are all invited. There's my question. There was a young woman there, and she would pitch all the time. And I had actually encountered her at a gym and gave her one of our 12 steps, found out that she had been in the program before, yada, yada. She came back, and she was a regular attending member of that meeting. Her pitches drove me up the wall. Her manner of speech, her sense of humor, you name it, and I was all over her quietly. So I claimed my seat, and as soon as she would raise her hand, and as soon as she would begin to pitch, I would roll my eyeballs and go like, oh dear God, do I have to listen to this one more time? But what happened in that meeting was I began to, one day I stopped rolling my eyeballs and I looked around. And I came to realize that the people in the meeting, younger than I in program and recovery, watched me to see what my reaction was sometimes to other people's pitches. And what I was basically doing was I was teaching a lesson. I had not a clue until I stopped rolling my eyeballs and looked around and I realized that I was setting an example, and it was a poor one. And it was upon that knowledge that I came to realize the role I was actually playing in my home meeting and the effect I was having on younger people in the program. And I never wanted to be that negative effect. I talked about it. I definitely prayed about it. I asked God to guide me about it. I needed to be a better person, to set a better example, to make an amends in my posture and my demeanor to that group. The next week, we came in. Sure enough, same scenario. She raised her hand, and I could see two or three people just kind of look over. And what I was able to do at the time was I just very quietly just dropped my vision just a little bit, and I tilted my head attentively, and I started to listen to what she had to talk about. And I continued to do that, and what I found out was she was gaining a lot of recovery. She was sharing it. and I was learning from it. She was teaching me a lesson. Who the heck was my ego? I needed to learn what she had to say. I came to respect her a lot. I came to honor her as a loving member of the fellowship. I actually came to be, I'm not going to say we weren't best friends and we didn't exchange Christmas presents, but you know something? She did eventually leave, not the program to my knowledge, she did relocate to another area, and there was a time when she pitched about something she was terribly afraid of that I was afraid for her, and I was able to be a loving guide at that time because I recognized what I was doing, and it was the gift, it was the promise of this program that put in my face the recovery and the love that I needed to show and project and then get back in return. I think I was given the 1 minute. Am I done? Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.